The songs have been really neat, haven't they? A lot of them I've never heard before, and I love looking at the words when we're studying something and seeing how they coordinate. You can just, a lot of the themes that we're going to be covering are found in each of those songs, and I really have enjoyed that. It's very, very special. So thank you, Carol, for choosing those wonderful songs. Thank you all for being friendly. I've enjoyed that. Sometimes I go to a ladies' retreat. Oh, thank you. Sometimes I go to a ladies' retreat and nobody will talk to me. It's so awful. I think, I'm normal. I'm an everyday person. You know, so you guys have been good. Thank you. I appreciate that. You're very, very kind. All right, we're going to continue on because I have a lot of words, and hopefully they're helpful words because they're from God, God's words, and things that I always like to share, things that God has used to change my life, things that have helped me. So I hope, it's always my prayer that they will help you too, because I know as ladies, as little lady sheep, we all go through a lot of the same things, don't we? And so I trust that God will use what we're doing. The little handout that you had, Keys to Your Own God and I Time, at the Wiles, we call our time of devotions God and I Time. And so I'll be talking about that later, but if you would bring that back, because I'll probably refer to it in a couple of the sessions. So, all right, let's open in prayer. Father, I thank you for this wonderful place and for each of these sweet ladies who have come to be under the sound of your word and to have the time together. And I just want to thank you for the dedicated staff here at Ironwood and the way that they have such joy and they enjoy life. They enjoy abundant life and they enjoy serving you. But most of all, Lord, we want to thank you for Jesus, our Savior, our good shepherd. And I pray that you would help me, Lord, in my feeble sheep way to be able to communicate some truths that have been very life-changing to me. I ask that you would bless each lady. Help me not to say anything that's not pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Like my husband dying and I won't tell you. I thought, that was the stupidest thing. I'm so sorry. I just, sheep. Some sheep are dumb. Okay. All right. Let's start with point number one. The good shepherd knows and loves his sheep. We're going to get back to Psalm 23, but we're going to start in John 10 again today. So our first slide is going to be John 10:14. So let's read this one together out loud. I am the good shepherd, know my sheep, and am known of mine. So when a shepherd buys his sheep, he puts a mark on it somewhere. It's his own particular mark on their ears, usually, to show his ownership. So when Christ became our shepherd, he paid for our sin, and he puts his mark on our life, and we become his sheep because he now owns us. We belong to him, and he paid the price for us, and so we belong to our good shepherd, and we are his. And then verse 14 goes on to tell us, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. This verse simply states that the good shepherd has a relationship with his sheep. When you know somebody, you have a relationship with them. And in verse 27, he also says, I know them. Twice he tells us that. And he knows his sheep individually. He doesn't just know them as a flock. He knows each one of his little sheep individually and intimately. When we look at sheep, we tend to think they are all, you know, all white and fluffy, and they all look just alike. And then there might be some black ones that are, you know, a little flock of black sheep or a little flock of brown sheep or a little flock of all mixed sheep. But we just tend to think they're all just sheep all mixed together, you know. But they are, in fact, individuals, each little sheep. They have distinctive personalities and different temperaments. And I like to think, you know what, that's just like us, isn't it? We are all so different. Shepherds spend a large amount of time with their sheep, and they get to know them individually. John 10:3 says that the shepherd calls his own sheep by name. So many shepherds know the personalities of their sheep and name each one of them according to their personality. Philip Keller said that sheep rarely had common names like Clark or something like that. But they were often called by complex and unique names like the beautiful lamb for which I traded 2 pots of honey. Or, of course, you know, that gets our imagination going, doesn't it? I started thinking, what would my name be? Silly old you with a crooked head, maybe? I don't know. But that might be a fun conversation for you guys at the lunch table. You can kind of decide what your name would be. Don't offend each other. Maybe you ought to come up with your own name. But the Good Shepherd is also our great creator who carefully created each sheep. And I had a sweet conversation with one of you this morning about Psalm 139 and how God creates each of us uniquely the exact way he wants, and that his plan is bigger than our plan for our lives, because he knows exactly how he makes each sheep and what he wants to do with their lives. In Psalm 139, it says in verse 13 or 15, my substance was not hid from them, from thee, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. And that actually means that in your mother's womb, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth was in your mother's womb. And curiously wrought, I looked it up because I have no idea, just listening to that word, what that means. And it means skillfully woven, adorned with colors. And I thought each one of us is intricately woven, just like a beautiful, my mom did amazing cross-stitch pictures with multitudes of colors, and it was just intricately woven and beautiful. I still have some of them in my home. But it's interesting, but I love the word colorful, that each one of us is intricately woven, and we're colorful, aren't we? It would be no fun if we were all exactly alike, but God makes us colorful. And I knew that with my 4 kids. You know, if you have children, or if you teach Sunday school, or if you're a teacher, you know how different children are. They're all so interesting. And I knew that with my kids, but now that I've got grandkids, I don't know if I was too busy to notice with my own kids, but my grandkids just tickle me to death, and they come that way. You know, they're just funny. I could tell you stories, but it's fun. You look at your church family, your classroom, your own family, your extended family, and it actually is very fun to watch if we look at it that way. Sometimes we get irritated, but it's really good to look at it, that God intricately wove each person and made them colorful. God is all-knowing, and he knows each one of his sheep individually because he made them the way they are. He knows everything about us. And I love this, but he has great fondness for each of his sheep because he formed them, he made them, and he intricately wove us. Look at this picture. I got this out of a book called the one I told you about, While Shepherds Watch Their Flock. This to me is a picture of how the shepherd loves his sheep. Isn't that the sweetest thing? Timothy Laniak went and spent a lot of time in the Middle East, and his photographer did that picture, and I just thought, wow, he really captured a good one. And it really is like our relationship with our Savior. 2020, we've talked about a lot, has been quite the year, hasn't it, with the COVID stuff. At the Wiles, we had camp. We postponed a little bit. We had our staff training week, 3 weeks of camp, and then COVID hit our camp, and we had to close down for the rest of the summer. We usually have around 10,000 campers in the summer, so that was devastating, and we were really sad. But and we're just now, we had to cancel all our spring camps as well. So those kinds of things have been hard. And then many of you, I certainly didn't mean to make light of COVID, because many of you have had it yourselves, or you know people, and you may even know that someone who passed away from it. And it's a very, it's been a very, I think the hardest thing for me is the mask thing, because you can't see faces. You can't see, that's where the light of a Christian comes through. And you can try to smile as good as you can with your eyes, but when the mask is covering, and I just really have had a hard time with that, because you want to communicate with people, and it's so hard. And I feel like it's walled us off from each other, you know, and our churches have been closed, and, you know, you've been building those relationships, and then all of a sudden people are stuck at home, and, you know, it's, to me, the relationship part is the hardest part of COVID. There's a lot of, my daughter-in-law Kelly is a pastor's wife, and she says there's a lot of gifts to COVID too, and I think we take a lot for granted, and God has helped us to see that. And God allowed this, and he shakes us up sometimes, doesn't he? And we need it. But, you know, all of the church things, that's been one of the saddest things of all to me. But the hatred and riots, that's sad to me. And the wildfires in your part of the country, my son lives in Washington State. And all the monumental elections coming up, the choice, it's starker than ever. But, and then our family, you know, we go through hard things, don't we? Our family has personally gone through a lot of difficult things in 2020. Transitions, heartaches, problems. Our little grandson with autism is going through some really hard things with having tics that keep him awake at night. And my husband's health, it just really has hit. It hit in about January, and his heart just stopped pumping like it should, and it's down to about a third capacity. And we're working on everything we can for that, but you know, there's so much to deal with and respond to, and all of you have things that are going on in your lives individually. But you know what? Jesus knows it all. He knows every bit of it. He knows, I just listed some of the things for myself. He knows my fears, my cares, my schedule, my challenges, my distresses, my stresses. He knows me when I'm doing well, when I'm being bad, when my motives are wrong, when they're right, when I'm hurt, when I'm grumpy, when I do dumb things, say dumb things, when I sin, when I'm trying, when I'm weak and weary, what my limitations are, what makes me sad, what makes me laugh. He knows what I'm thinking. He knows it all. And he knows it all about each one of us in this room as his sheep. Isn't that amazing? It just amazes me. This can be really comforting to us, but it can also be scary if our relationship with him isn't right. And we know that he sees it all. Psalm 139 talks about, you can't escape from God. He knows everything. But once we understand that he knows it all, then we can openly talk to him about it all. But the most comforting thing of all is, in spite of what of all that he knows about us, he looks at us like this picture. This little picture touches my heart, because that's how Jesus looks at each of his sheep. And he loves us with an everlasting love. My husband Ken teaches on the love chapter a lot, and it's meant so much to us. But he says the most important thing about you is not how much you love God, but how much God loves you. So let's go on to some verses in John 10. Let's read this. Well, we're not going to read these. We read these last night. But this was a parable, verses 1 through 5. In verse 6, it tells us that Jesus was just giving a parable. And so he's talking about sheep and shepherds, because it was such a common thing in Bible times and in Middle Eastern countries. And he was speaking to the Pharisees and others that were there. And so he was talking about that, you know, in the morning, you know, the sheep come into the sheepfold. And in the morning, then, we'll go to the next verses, in verses 3 through 5. To him the porter openeth. So the gatekeeper opens the gate in the morning, and the sheep hear his voice, the shepherd's voice. He calls to his sheep. He calleth his own sheep by name. He might just have a name for his whole flock, or a call that he has, or call them individually. And he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So last night we talked about thieves and robbers, but now what we want to talk about is when that real shepherd comes to take the sheep out. They know their shepherd, and they follow him because they know his voice. But the sheep run from strangers because they don't know the stranger's voice. Philip Keller said, no, this is actually a different quote. The sheep refused to follow a stranger because his voice was unfamiliar. In fact, if a stranger should use a shepherd's call and imitate his tone, the flock would instantly detect the difference. Now that's intelligence, isn't it? Philip Keller had a fascinating and comical description of this, and I want to read to you. Sheep quickly become accustomed to their owner's particular voice. They are acquainted with its unique tone. They know its peculiar sounds and inflections. They can distinguish it from that of any other person. It used to amaze and intrigue visitors to my ranches to discover that my sheep were so indifferent to their voices. Occasionally, I would invite them to call my sheep using the same words and phrases which I habitually employed. But it was to no avail. The ewes and lambs and even the rams would simply stand and stare at the newcomer in rather blank bewilderment, as if to say, "Who are you?" I just thought that was a cute picture. Then he went on to say, over a period of time, sheep come to associate the sound of the shepherd's voice with special benefits. When the shepherd calls to them, it's for a specific purpose that has their own best interests in mind. It might be to announce his presence with them, to call them to him to be counted or examined, to make sure they are well fit and flourishing, to announce fresh feed, salt, minerals, or water, to lead them into fresh pasture or some shelter from an approaching storm. But they come to know that his call has something to do with his care for them. And I just thought that was so sweet. They don't just recognize their shepherd's voice. He said they actually run toward the shepherd and when they hear his voice, for they know he has something good for them. I just thought that is such a good example for us to run toward our shepherd's voice and to listen to his voice and not all the other voices calling us. All right, let's read these verses aloud in just a second. Not only does the shepherd know his sheep, but this is the second part of the verse. Let's read this together. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. The other me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The good shepherd wants his sheep to know and love him. I think that is so cool. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I just think that is so cool. The good shepherd wants us to know him as he knows us. He says, I know my sheep and am known of mine. It's a reciprocal relationship, and we'll talk more about that later. But there's another aspect in these verses that I really, really like. The good shepherd wants us to know him as the Father knows him. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. Jesus and his Father have an amazing relationship, and they know each other perfectly because they are one. And it says, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That word meaning for the word know is not just a casual know, like, I know, now don't I know you from somewhere? It's not that kind of a know. It's an intimate know. It's like, implies a deep and loving relationship, like a loving mother knows her child. And the most stunning fact about this, if you notice in these verses, it uses the word know 3 times. And the Greek word meaning for all of those knows is exactly the same. So that, to me, that is so stunning, because what it means is that as God the Father knows the Son and as the Son knows the Father, and as the Son, the shepherd, knows his sheep, that's also the same way that he wants us to know him. Isn't that amazing? That he would like for us to have the privilege of knowing him that well. I just think that is so amazing that we little sheep have that privilege of knowing God and knowing Jesus. Truth number 6, the good shepherd knows everything about his sheep and wants his sheep to know him. He desires that they have the same kind of loving union with him that he has with his Father. So the next point is, it's our responsibility as sheep to know our good shepherd. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 103. It's the one I always sign my little book with. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I think that is one of the sweetest verses. In my workshop, I'm going to talk about knowing God more. And it's a study that has totally and completely changed my life. If I want to know God, I have to study God. And I have to study Jesus, because I and my Father are one, it says in John 10:30. And God, the most amazing thing is that God has revealed to us what he wants us to know about him in this book. And I just love that. He doesn't, you know, there's so much more, so much more that we could know, that we will know about God someday when we get to heaven. But in the meantime, he said, as sheep, we are responsible to know what he tells us about himself in this book. And also about Jesus. I was 42 when I started my study on knowing God. And it was actually in October, 28 years ago. And I remember hearing at the Wiles different speakers talk about you should know God. And I thought, I went to my husband, Ken. By the way, my husband, Ken, is wonderful. He's my best teacher. I wish I could talk about him all the time, too. But I went to him and I said, "Hun, I don't feel like I know God. How can I get to know God?" And he said, "Well, Marty, why don't you just start going through the book of Psalms and find out, write down what you know about him." I thought, I can do that. So I just started a little study, and I will tell you more in depth about it in the workshop if anybody wants to come. And I know that's a hard thing because there are other wonderful, wonderful workshops, so I won't feel bad if nobody comes. So, but anyway, this little sheet right here is basically a sheet that I hand out every single time I speak, and it's a sheet that is in your little booklet, and it's some of the truths that I learned about God and some of my favorite verses. And then on the back, it tells you how to do the study. So you don't even have to come to the workshop if you don't want to. I also got so frustrated trying to talk to ladies about how much it was changing my life that I'm not a writer, but I decided to write my little book just for ladies to help them know how to grow in knowing God. Because it really did, it changed my life, and I can't even begin to explain how much it changed my life. So, I'm not going to talk about that anymore. There's one thing I wanted to show you. When they were getting ready to publish this, they said, what would be a good cover? What do you like? And I said, I like sheep. So they put sheep on the cover. And there's these two little sheep, one's looking straight forward and one's looking sideways, and then there's other ones. But my daughter said to me, I said, I'm that dumb one in the middle. She said, no, Mom, you're the one with the crooked head over here. So anyway. We also have a little something, called, she's not always nice to me. No. In the back of the book, there's something we call the emergency pack. And we publish this separately because it's such an encouragement. And all it is scripture. on some of the categories for when you're going through an emergency, but I also love it for daily life. But it sings like, "My God cares, my God comforts," and it's just scripture. And in the back, there's four stabilizing truths that my husband has written for when you're going through a trial. And then there's also a page that has the gospel. It's an amazing little tool for people who are going through a trial, or someone in the hospital, or somebody who has, when I have a friend going through cancer, I will give them a whole stack of those to just pass out while they're in the hospital or when they're having their treatment. But that might be something. There's a few of them in the store, and I brought 15 more if anybody needs one. I couldn't fit too much more in my suitcase, but anyway, we need to know our Good Shepherd. And you don't need the book, by the way. This little handout that you have in your thing tells you the basics for how to do the study. So, and I am not trying to make money. I give whatever money that comes in from that to help people grow spiritually. So that's my thing. Okay, back to Psalm 23. Uh-oh, I think it went away. Oh, there's Psalm 23, 1 and 2. All right, Psalm 23, 1b. Let's read that together. "I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters." The very next verse after I shall not want is, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters." All right, let me see if this will work next. Yep. That's a beautiful landscape with sheep lying down. And that's how I like to picture green pastures and how our shepherd wants us to be. He wants us to be restful and peaceful, lying down. Sheep love to chew the cud. You know, they're ruminating animals, so they will just chew and chew and chew, and they'll just rest and be so peaceful and content. And they can be calm, patient, tranquil, harmless, inoffensive, and sweet animals when they're content and resting. And that's how the Good Shepherd wants his sheep to be. He wants us to be that way. He wants us to rest. Sheep need rest. We all need rest, don't we? Our bodies need rest. We need spiritual rest and refreshment. And that's why so many of us are drawn to come to retreats. But the interesting fact about sheep is they refuse to lie down if they're upset about anything. And you've noticed that, haven't you? If you're thinking about something, or you're upset, or you're sad, or whatever, you're just wide awake. You can't go to sleep. And Philip Keller wrote four reasons why he's found that sheep can't rest. The first one is they can't rest if they're hungry. We can sympathize with that, can't we? If their stomachs are gnawing with hunger. If I get real hungry, I get irritable. Do you? Some people have blood sugar issues and they get upset if they get hungry. The second thing is sheep can't rest when they're afraid. They're fearful, timid creatures, and they won't rest if they think they're not safe. They're pretty much helpless and defenseless, and some things that threaten them are really valid reasons for why they should be afraid. Wild dogs, coyotes, cougars, bears, sudden violent storms, certain strangers, but also anything out of the ordinary will cause them to be fearful. They don't like people they don't know, or loud noises, or even a rabbit bursting out of a bush will just panic them, and they'll blindly run off in all directions. And as little people sheep, we have fears that cause us to be anxious, don't we? I just listed a few: fear of cancer or some other health problem. I found myself being fearful of Ken's heart situation. Alzheimer's. Ken's mom had Alzheimer's, and that was such a scary disease. And we all tend to think we're going to get Alzheimer's. Fear of being alone, fear of fire, fear of heights or other phobias, fear of speaking in public, fear of new situations, fear that our children won't love God, fear of people or what they think. I am so bad about that. Are you guys fearful about that? Like, this sounds really stupid, but I always fear, you know, I had to wear hose because I have ugly legs, and I thought, Are they going to think I'm stupid wearing hose in 90-degree weather? Okay, I got to weigh it out. Do I want to have ugly legs, or them think I'm stupid? You know. So I mean, we're done. Girls are so funny that way, aren't we? We just so I chose hose. But we have fear of being hurt, fear of failure, fear of aging, fear of death of those we love, and now fear of COVID. We've got the fear of the world situation, fear of the economy and financial problems, fear of concerning our elections coming up, fear of what might happen in the future with all the terrible cultural changes that are going on in our country. Fear of what our country is going to look like for our children and grandchildren. Fear of persecution. I mean, you name it, sheep have fears. Some of the fears are valid fears, aren't they? And some are caused by things that are just out of the ordinary for us, new things. And I'm sure that you have fears, maybe some that I didn't mention. And I've always struggled with being fearful. And I know that I will probably always have that tendency because I'm a sheep. And sheep are fearful creatures. The third reason sheep can't rest is when there's friction in the flock. I thought that was interesting. Sheep are very sociable creatures, and they like being in a flock. But there can also be a lot of rivalry and competition, contending and fighting with the other sheep within a flock. I don't know if you know that, but there's even a budding order in a flock. Like the domineering old ewe will challenge some of the younger and weaker sheep. And it causes a lot of tension in the flock. And the sheep can become edgy, intense, discontent, restless, irritable, and even lose weight because of it. And I know for us, people problems can be among the most upsetting, can't they? I know when I've had a conflict with someone, or there's a misunderstanding or disagreement, or even just a clash of personalities, that happens a lot. Or you know someone doesn't like you very much and you're not sure why, it can all be very consuming, can't it? And I think it's probably among the most consuming things. And when that happens, it's all your mind can think of. Sometimes ongoing ones, they can last for years. And your mind just distracts you when you sit down to read your Bible or when you start to pray. It keeps you from going to sleep or waking up, and it's hard to rest. The fourth reason is sheep can't rest if they're upset by irritations and aggravations. Sheep are often plagued by various flies, ticks, and other insects or parasites. And this is nasty, but Philip Keller describes something called a nasal fly that will go up into the sheep's nose and drive them crazy. And they will actually bang their head on a tree or, you know, just try to get rid of those nasal flies. And it will literally drive them to distraction. You've heard that expression, you bang so frustrated, you bang your head against a wall. That's kind of what it means. And sometimes we have those kind of irritations in our lives too, don't we? I think there's a lot of little frustrations and irritations in life, and it can cause us not to rest. We can empathize because life is full of those kinds of things. I just wrote a few down, like running behind schedule to pick up your child from school, or the traffic is tied up because of a construction, and you're or you lock your keys in the car, or you get behind a biker on the curvy roads, we have curvy roads. Do you have curvy roads? Okay. Forgetting to turn on the crock pot on Sunday when the chicken dinner is in there and then the chicken goes bad, or when you just cleaned your kitchen and someone comes in and puts dirty dishes on the counter, and then someone comes to your house. Or your computer is acting up right when you're working on an important deadline and you forgot to save it. Being put on hold and not being able to talk to a real person. That's so aggravating. When the doctors can't figure out what's wrong after several doctor visits. And I think COVID has added a lot of frustrations with the mask thing and all that we talked about. Forced homeschooling. Some people don't want to homeschool, and it's really hard on them to have to homeschool. With parks and places closed, and there are opinions across the board on it. You know, it's just an amazing thing. So with all these problems that plague us and sheep, What do sheep do in order for them to be able to rest and to enjoy green pastures? They need the presence of the shepherd. Notice that it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Maketh means that he causes us to lie down. And leading has the notion of care and protection. He leads sheep to water for the purpose of rest and refreshment. But when sheep are afraid, they settle down instantly when their shepherd appears. And it's interesting because, but when sheep are fighting and challenging each other, as soon as the shepherd shows up, they stop. And the shepherd calms their fears and stops their conflicts and frustrations by his presence among them. He relieves their panic and anxiety. Here's a little couple of quotes from Philip Keller. I came to realize that nothing so quieted and reassured the sheep as to see me in the field. The presence of their master and owner and protector put them at ease as nothing else could do. It's the same with us. When Jesus is in the picture, he calms his sheep. Keller also said, we live a most uncertain life. Any hour can bring disaster, danger, and distress from unknown quarters. Life is full of hazards. No one can tell what a day will produce in new trouble. And often our impulse, first impulse, is to get up and run. Then, in the midst of our misfortunes, there suddenly comes the awareness that he, the Christ, the Good Shepherd, is there. He makes all the difference. His presence in the picture throws a different light on the whole scene. Suddenly, things are not half so black, nor nearly so terrifying. The outlook changes, and there is hope. You know, you notice that in those situations, there's nothing different. The situation hasn't changed. It's the presence of the shepherd that changes everything. Jesus said, I love these verses in Matthew 11:28-29, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek or gentle and lowly in heart, humble, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And what that means is that the yoke is a non-yoke and the burden is a non-burden with Christ. He helps you bear it. He gets you through it. I also often think of the disciples in the storm when Jesus was walking on the water and they cried out in fear. And I love these words. I quote them to myself when I'm afraid. Jesus said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. All right, let's look at this. This is one of my favorite things because the truth about the shepherd, this is a Hallmark card that I took a picture of, and I can't read it. What does it say? Oh, we may feel all alone, but the truth is, look at this, the shepherd is always, always with us. I just love that. Truth number 7, when sheep are afraid, quarreling, or irritated, they are unable to rest. Only the presence of the good shepherd calms the sheep, the anxious sheep. He cares about their safety and well-being and wants them to be content and satisfied. Okay, you know what? I'm almost out of time and I'm not done. I've still got some pages. Let me just tell you this very quickly. This is a good picture. I love this picture of green pastures. And when we think of the color green, it's a refreshing color, isn't it? You think of nature, trees, grass. And the word pastures means a dwelling place or a home, a pleasant place, a habitation. And that's what God wants us to have when he's talking about leading us, making us to lie down in green pastures. In Israel, though, they don't have green pastures that look like what we were picturing. And here in the desert, you don't have that many green pastures, probably. But the shepherds would find little patches of grass or these tufts that come up. And that word green actually means sprouts or new or tender grass. Sometimes we don't have lush green pastures, but and all that they can find in Israel is just enough to keep the sheep going for that day. And I think of that as when we're in a deep trial, we don't maybe have a lush green pasture, but we have just what we need provided by the shepherd to get us through. And this idea to me, I hope it's not spiritualizing, but I think of my time with God every day as my green pasture time. It's my time to just be refreshed by God's word and spending time with my shepherd. And so I hope that you can look at that as your green pasture time and faithfully spend time with God in his word and in prayer. That's what devotion should be, just a time of being devoted to the Good Shepherd and getting to know him while he refreshes us. The last part of it, he leads me beside still waters, and this is, we'll cover this very quickly, but the sheep can't, they don't like rushing water, it scares them, but they love still waters, and that's how we kind of picture it, doesn't it? They're just enjoying the refreshment of still water. And this is something really cool. There's also in places that are more arid and there's not a lot of green pasture or even a lot of streams of still water, it can also be dewdrops. Isn't that cool? Philip Keller said that sheep can go for months on just dew. Their habit is to rise before dawn and start to feed on the dew-drenched vegetation. And he said, and there is no more resplendent picture of still waters than the silver droplets of the dew hanging heavy on the leaves and grass at the break of day. In my mind's eye, I can see my flock again, the gentleness, stillness, and softness of the early morning. Always found my sheep knee-deep in dew-drenched grass. There they fed heavily and contentedly. As the sun rose and its heat burned the dewdrops from the leaves, the flock would retire to find shade. There, fully satisfied and happily refreshed, they would lie down to rest and ruminate throughout the day. Nothing pleased me more. I am confident that this is precisely the same reaction in my master's heart and mind when I meet the day in the same way. He loves to see me contented, quiet, at rest, and relaxed. He delights to know that my soul and spirit have been refreshed and satisfied. You know, God wants us to spend time with him, and sheep need to do that or they won't rest. They won't be able to lie down in their difficult times. This little pamphlet that I gave you, Keys for Your God and I Time, have helpful guidelines. If you're not in the habit of having a time with God, this gives you some guidelines about how to go about it. And it will, all of us struggle in this area, by the way. It took me years to get to where I was faithful at having devotions, and now I can't hardly stand to do without it. So this will help you to establish it as a habit, and it explains how to study your Bible in a little more depth, too. But then the other part that I really wanted you to know is on page 4. There's a whole bunch of ideas that our staff put together for ideas of having devotions, basically, because I don't believe that you should ever be bored in your time with God. If you're bored, you're doing something wrong. Try something different and make sure that you're spending time with God and that it applies to you. So, all right, we better quit. And thank you for your patience.